Amen, amen. Before we get into this word, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We love you, Lord God. Lord, we totally depend on you, Lord God, in this moment for a word from heaven. I thank you, Lord God, that this word coming forth right now would charge us, it would challenge us, and it would change us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn in your roadmaps, your Bibles, to the book of James. Amen. The book of James, chapter 2. Amen. James, chapter 2. And I will be reading verses 18 through 20. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Amen. Hallelujah. And the text reads, starting at verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hath faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Amen. Hallelujah. In just these brief moments, I'll be teaching from the subject, opportunity, opposition. Amen. Opportunity, opposition. Hallelujah. The word opportunity means a favorable circumstance or occasion. That's what opportunity means, a favorable circumstance or occasion. All of us are given opportunities. We are. However, not all of us are opportunistic when God presents us with opportunity. So why is this? Why are we not opportunistic as children of God? Why do we allow opportunity after opportunity to expire on the shelf? Hallelujah. I got a simple truth for you. The promises of God never expire. However, an opportunity has an expiration date. Hallelujah. Amen. Many of us will miss an opportunity from God because we are slow to respond to his voice. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself. An opportunity from God is our chance to show our faith with our works. Amen. Hallelujah. The text that we read in James, it says that faith without works is dead. Amen. I have a very simple question for you this morning. Is your faith dead or alive? Amen. I know a lot of us like to think the knee-jerk reaction is my faith is alive. Is it? The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Is your faith alive or is it dead? Hallelujah. Many of us think that because I believe, I have faith. And that's simply not true. That's simply not true. Genuine faith in God will prove itself by obedient action. Amen. Think about it. When you got saved, you had faith because you took obedient action to get saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that's the obedient action, thou shalt be saved. So you have taken action by your faith in Jesus before, if you are saved. There are many believers whose only action they've ever taken is the required action of salvation. And that's all you've ever done. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I'm speaking to somebody today. Listen, salvation is a big step, without question. It is a huge step, but it's not the only action that you're required to take as a believer. Amen. This is why the Bible tells us in Romans that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That's the reason why. From action to action. If I could translate that, you take a faithful action to faithful action, and the righteousness of God will be revealed unto you. Amen. Yes, the initial step of faith is vital and important, but it's not the only step. It's not the last step that you take. Hallelujah. This is where the opportunities of God kick in. It's a chance to take action on the faith that we supposedly have. So I ask you again, is your faith dead or alive? Is it? Listen, many believers in Christ play the play it safe strategy, which means, listen, I'll just get on the team, but not take any action or change my life as a believer. Yeah, I'll just play it safe. Just get me on the team. When we win the championship, I'll get a ring, but I'll just sit on the bench and watch. I'll watch everybody else play. Everybody else is they're better players than me, so I'm just going to sit on the bench. I'll get a ring at the end, but I won't play. I'll just sit in my warm-ups on the sideline. Listen, Jesus talked about people who play it safe in Scripture. He did. We have to be careful. If this is your strategy, we have to be careful with this. In the book of Revelation, Jesus categorized this type of follower, the play it safe follower. He categorized them as lukewarm. That's what he did. Revelation 3:16, it says, "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Listen, to the people who play it safe, I get it. I understand. I was once there myself. Be all in with God when it's good and easy. But as soon as things get hard and difficult, I'll bring my flag down. I've been there. Listen, this strategy may appear to be wise, but it's actually quite foolish when we do this. Because Jesus said, he said, "I'll spew you." Another translation says, "I'll spit you out of my mouth," because you're neither hot nor cold. Listen, Jesus said, "I could deal with cold. I would love for you to be hot. But if you lukewarm water is good for nothing. You don't do warm water for anything. You can't use it." My grandmother used to say that stagnant water stinks. And that's what lukewarm, that's what he means in the term lukewarm, that it just sits, it stands, and it does nothing. I know what some of you may be thinking, that what Jesus is saying sounds unreasonable. I love God. I love Jesus. Why do I have to take action? Why would you spit me out? When I believe, it sounds unreasonable, but how would you respond to someone who only came around on payday with a handout? Amen. How would you respond to that? Hallelujah. What Jesus is saying is, if you're not with me during the struggle, then you can miss me when it's time for blessing. Amen. I got scripture for that. Matthew 16:24-25. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it." Amen. Jesus says you're going to have to take it. That means when Jesus says you're going to have to take up your cross, you're going to have to pick up your struggle and follow me. I want you and your struggle. That's what Jesus is saying. Pick up your cross, that thing you do not want to do, and follow me. That's what he's saying. Listen, I don't know who this word is for, but you've done nothing long enough. Amen. Is your faith dead? Is it dead? The beauty about being in this place, if your faith is dead, the beauty about being in this place is that at a moment's notice, your faith can be made alive. It can be. It can be made alive. Hallelujah. It is those whose faith is alive have the ability to be opportunistic when opportunity arises. Amen. The simple belief that God exists is not enough. It isn't. Because the scripture says in James that even the demons believe. Faith without works is dead. Even the demons believe in God. That's not enough. You're going to have to take action. Hallelujah. Faith must be alive in order to be opportunistic, to take advantage of every opportunity that God has given you. You have to have faith that is alive. Amen. I'm almost done. I have only one takeaway today, just one. I was going to have several, but God just laid me down on one. So that's what we're going to do, and I'm going to get out of your way. Amen. Hallelujah. If your faith is alive, we must be opportunistic. And I have one step for you to follow to be opportunistic. Amen. And that one thing is we cannot take advantage of every opportunity. Amen. No, sounds like double talk, but we cannot. We cannot take advantage of every opportunity. I know it sounds really good to take advantage of every opportunity, but that's actually a very foolish thing to do. We cannot. I know it sounds real good, but it's not only is it foolish, it's not practical to take advantage of every opportunity. Amen. I know I realize that I'm saying is coming against how a lot of us have modeled our life to take advantage of every opportunity, but we cannot do that. What about the opportunity to sin? Do we take advantage of those opportunities as well? Amen. I hope you realize that every day we will encounter temptation that is disguised as opportunity. Amen. Hallelujah. We are to take advantage of God-ordained opportunity and nothing else. Nothing else. People of God, we must be very careful because the enemy is very crafty. He's very crafty, and he will have sin appear to us as a favorable circumstance. Listen. I've been there. And listen, Satan will have sin appear to us as favorable circumstance in so much that we don't even consult God. Because this is favorable at face value, why should I ask God? This must be God presenting this to me, and I'm just going to go. Amen. I've been there. I took a job one time at a Lexus dealership. And it was what I thought was the progression that I was supposed to take. That the next step where I was to work at a dealership. That was my dream. I wanted to work on cars. I wanted to work at a dealership. And then I wanted to open up my own business. But that was not God's plan for my life. I didn't consult him. I figured because I wanted it, he was going to give it to me. Big mistake. Big mistake. And I've told a lot of people this story before that when this opportunity came for me to work at Lexus, I just jumped at the chance. I didn't even consult God. Not that I really had a real deep working relationship with God at that point, but I figured since this was an opportunity that I wanted, that this is what God wanted for me. Again, big mistake. Big mistake. And I took the job, gave my 2 weeks, went, and I will tell you, I realized within 30 minutes of being there that I wasn't supposed to be there. Again, I didn't have a real working relationship with God, but I knew right away that I was not supposed to be here. So I had to humble myself, quit this job, and go back to where I was before because I jumped the gun at an opportunity that I thought was from God, but it wasn't. And let me just say, just because you want something doesn't mean God's going to give it to you. Amen. So how do I know if it's God or the enemy speaking to me? It's a very good question. It's a very valid question. I get asked this question a lot. And there are numerous believers who have grown frustrated because you're not sure if this is God's opportunity or the enemy's temptation. If you've grown frustrated because you want an answer from God. I get it. The best strategy for this, if this is you, the best strategy for this situation is to prepare for the answer before you ask the question. Amen. I'll explain. We have to prepare for the answer before we ask the question. What do you mean, Minister Chris? Many of us don't recognize the voice of God because our communication with God is limited to an inquiry. We don't talk to God until we want something from God. And that's a mistake that a lot of believers in Jesus Christ make. We don't ask him nothing until we want something. You don't talk with him until you need something from him. Amen. I'm going to say something that may hurt, but it needs to be said. If you don't know the voice of God, you don't have relationship with God. Amen. If you can't say amen, say ouch, as my mentor would say. I got scripture for that. John chapter 10, verse 3 and 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So let me just make this very simple for you. The problem is with us. The reason why we're in a state of confusion where we don't know if this is the enemy trying to tempt us or God trying to move us forward is because God's voice and the stranger sound the same. Very simple. That's why we don't know if this is God or the enemy, because they both sound the same. We don't know the difference between God and a stranger. Amen. If my wife were to call my phone and no number would come up and I would answer it and she would begin to speak, I would know immediately that's my wife's voice. I would know that immediately because we have relationship. Amen. My wife has told me, she said, I'd be able to spot you at the Million Light-Skinned Man March. She's told me that because we have relationship. She knows my voice. She knows exactly what I look like, how I walk, everything. The same thing with my kids. If my kids were to call me or I would hear their voice in a crowd, I would recognize it right away. If my TV's going on, whatever, if I hear their voice, I would know exactly who that is because we have relationship, father-child relationship. Communication is key in any relationship that we have, including our relationship with God. It's vital that we communicate with him so that we will know what his voice sounds like. This is what I'm saying. We have to prepare before we ask the question. We have to communicate with God so we will know his voice when he speaks. Could you imagine if your spouse or your child were to ask you a question or to to inquire of you with something, and you would say, within, is this my spouse or not? She would look, or he would look at you like you crazy, like you don't know my voice. Imagine how God feels when he tells you to do something and you think within himself, is this God or not? Amen. We are wasting time trying to figure out if an opportunity is from God or it's from the enemy trying to move us from our spot. We're wasting time. We should know immediately if it's God or not. Amen. Communicating with God by reading the Word of God and through praying to God is how we train our ears to hear his voice. Amen. Someone may be asking, listen, I'm a little bit further along to do the preparation to hear God's voice. What if I didn't do the preparation work and I need an answer from God right now? I didn't read, I didn't pray to him before, but I do need an answer. What do I do? That's a good question. You may be in a tough space right now. You need an immediate answer from God. And if you need an immediate answer from God, you may have to do something a little bit more extreme. It's going to sound extreme, but this is the course of action you need to take. You need to fast and pray. Amen. It sounds like a curse word to a lot of folks. But if you're in an extreme space where you need to hear from God, fasting and praying may be for you. When you fast and when you pray, you mute every single voice around you. You cut down the radio, you cut down the TV, you shut it all down, and you get into the Word and you just pray to God. And when everything is muted, what you hear will be directly from God. Amen. You'll find it impossible to walk by faith if you're unable to recognize the voice of God. Amen. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We run the risk of our God-given opportunity dying on the shelf if we're trying to figure out within ourselves if it's God speaking to me or not. We cannot allow this opportunity that God has given us to die on the shelf, because once the opportunity is gone, it's gone. Amen. My mentor, Pastor Rafford, said some years ago, he said that the opportunity of a lifetime is only available for the lifetime of the opportunity. It's important. It's vital. Listen, your family is depending on you capitalizing on every God-given opportunity. Amen. If you don't know what that is, then it's time for you to get into the Word and start praying and communicating with God. So when the opportunity arises, you can be opportunistic. If you're already in a place where you think God wants you to take a step to move forward, it's time to fast and pray so you'll know directly from heaven, directly from God, to move or to stay put. Amen. I pray you were blessed by this word. Amen. Hallelujah.